Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Broadcasting live for December the 2nd in the year of our Lord, 2022. It is a faith-filled, freedom-loving, fantastic. We're taking America back one heart, one issue, one mind at a time Friday to promote God, family, and country, to protect life, liberty, and property, and to do so in the traditions of our founding fathers, our goal. The supreme law of the land, the Constitution, is our guide, ladies and gentlemen. The checks and balances are our friends. We the people can stand in the gap and stand for the sacred cause of liberty, and that's what this broadcast has been about for more than 25 years on your radio. Dr. Bradley with me for both hours. We talked about Biden will create a new national monument, then he kind of backed off, and Joe vows protection but not, quote, monument status for literally 500,000 acres of land in Nevada. The American people should absolutely shut that down, call Joe a criminal. The Congress should impeach him for trying to take over the legislative responsibilities. The American people should say you have no authorization via the contract, the Constitution. Criminal Joe, it needs to stop now. But see, the American people don't really focus on things. Dr. Bradley highlighted four things we must do to restore the Republic and the traditions of our founding fathers. Number one, we need to get right with and turn our hearts to God. Number two, we need to understand and apply the founding principles of our nation and the traditions of our founding fathers. Three, we must get active and involved. And four, we must make our influence known and felt in every way possible. We talked about this whacked out Tesla guy, Elon Musk. The guy's a nutcase. Anyway, he vowed on a Wednesday night, I don't know what you want to call it, a Wednesday night event promoting his technologies. And he pledged that he will receive a brain chip implant from his biotech company, Neuralink. He doubled down on that promise on Twitter after the fact. Now, I'm talking about eugenics here, and I'm talking about this transhuman agenda where they want to merge computers and humans together in strange ways. And, you know, if you listen to what they say at first, it sounds benevolent. It's like, wow, you know what? They're going to make the blind see. They're going to help the paraplegic. It's going to be incredible. Wow, just look at what they're going to do for me. Look how far along this technology is. It's incredible. But when you really dig in and understand the eugenics movement, understand the transhuman movement, what they really want to create is dumbed down masses that serve the worker class, the flyover country, whatever term you want to use for them. And then they want to create the elite class that lives forever. That's them. And the problem with the eugenics movement is it has its origins in creating a, quote, master race. Now, Elon's white from South Africa, I find interesting. But no one's bringing up this eugenics agenda that he has, this transhuman agenda that he has. He says he wants to bring sight to blind people such as myself. But you know what? I think there's an agenda there. I'm a flawed person. You know, if you look at the Hitler days, and it's interesting that Elon Musk is, trying to hold the moral high ground on Twitter while Kanye West, this black dude, is running around literally saying he loves Hitler while Elon Musk is ready to take a chip into his brain. By the way, you should do the same. It's coming to a theater or a brain near you, your own brain. And it's interesting how all this is on the table, but no one's bringing up the reality, connecting the dots as we are based on historical fact, Dr. Bradley.
Well, let's go to the basic eugenics movement for just a moment. You look at the people that were very prominent, preeminent movers and shakers, if you will, in that movement. I mean, Margaret Sanger, with her beginnings of the Planned Parenthood, which was basically designed to wipe out the black race in the United States. You look at almost everybody that's really been a big mover and shaker, which started really in the late 1800s. The people were, they were Fabian socialists like George Bernard Shaw and H.G. Wells. These guys, I mean, the socialistic leanings of this thing right from the beginning. Hitler wasn't the only eugenicist, if you will. Hitler, another socialist. It's a Nazi, the National Socialist. They didn't call themselves Nazis, but they were National Socialists. And we contracted the name. Helen Keller. I mean, some of these people that the thought of Teddy Roosevelt. I mean, Alexander Graham Bell. So many of these people were socialists of one flavor or another. And socialist is not friendly to true godly liberty, the friends of the founding fathers, if you will. And so this effort has started a long time ago. It's like creating the elite breed. And you look at what was his name? He wrote Brave New World, Huxley, Aldous Huxley. And you go back and read that book. If you haven't read that, I mean, it's been decades since I read it. But if you read that book, you see these different classes of these servant people up through the people that are the elites that they're creating chemically, you know, as they're bred in the laboratory. These kinds of things, this dabbling in the God science, if you will, becomes a very, very problematic and dangerous thing. And there have been people down through the ages, if you study some of their intentions and get behind the scenes, if you will, it's not as safe and effective as someone would tell us. And we have seen what they've done with their so-called vaccines that are more like kind of a DNA-altering kind of thing. Everything is going in the wrong path right now. If we just accept things and kind of blithely go along with these spread and circuses that we've been talking about, it's going to engulf us, and it's going to surprise us. Nations can fall. We've talked about this before. And they fall rather quickly when the time comes. And so, I mean, you look at the fall of Rome, for example, I mean, or Babylon. Or I mean, you pick these great monolithic almost societies that basically have it all together. Poof, gone. They're done. And I've got the History of Civilization here with me. That's not a person. It's a series of books. But you read through that and you say, wow, civilization's a fragile thing. It's something that we really need to pay attention to if we're not going to give away some of these great gifts that God has given us, and I really do believe that's the origin, and dinking around with that. When you mess with the human mind, you're messing with our ability to choose. And if it's something they do, and by the way, there's a pretty strong evidence that some of these vaccines that are out there affect little black boys very adversely with all sorts of deficiencies that cause them to be unable to even concentrate. And they lose their agency when that happens. They lose their freedom. If you give that to them, you don't have to put a tyrant over them. They're ruled by a tyrant in their own mind. And people just need to understand some of these widespread efforts to do things like take this vaccine policy to the African poor kids. And they do this like, oh, we're going to save them from all these diseases. Well, not if you take away their agency and make them unable to even perform as a human being on Earth. All of this stuff needs to be rethought, and we need to go back to the basics, if you will, of what really came out of God's design lab, if you will, and quit looking for humans to do it, because humans are flawed. And this humanist perspective to things is truly it's humanism is a faith-based belief system without a divine God.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. It is Antichrist, without a doubt. And it doesn't matter if you choose socialism, Nazism, communism, whatever word you want to say. All of it flies in the face. There are many roads to hell is the term that kind of comes to mind about this. Look, they don't care which road you take because they know it leads to tyranny as opposed to liberty. They know godless as opposed to godly. That's the battle lines. And I'm telling you right now, I don't believe it's a coincidence when Elon Musk is saying, I'm going to put a chip in my head. We're going to move forward with this transhumanism agenda. Don't worry, it's going to be incredible for you. That's the lie they sell on one side of the equation, while Kanye West is out there literally promoting and doubling down on Hitler via the Alex Jones show on the other side. They are trying to make anybody who brings up things that Dr. Bradley and I might bring up is, you know what, we're now with Yi and Alex Jones and Nazis and, these haters, and because we stand for liberty, like supposedly Yi and other guys are doing. Now, listen, Kanye West is no longer buying Parler. The parent company of Parler said they had mutually agreed, I guess, with Yi or Kanye Yi West, to go ahead and scrap the deal. So Yi will not be buying the Parler social media service. But the Billboard honored Kanye West by naming him the top Christian artist of 2022. Right after he got on the radio with and TV with Alex Jones and promoted Adolf Hitler. Rapper Kanye West interrupted Alex Jones on InfoWars to, quote, defend Nazis. And then Jones said, "Ye does not deserve to be called a Nazi," following a recent string of anti-Semitic remarks by Ye. Well, here's what's fascinating. Ye then disagreed with Alex. West disagreed, claiming Adolf Hitler had some great characteristics. "Well, I see good things about Hitler," he said. "I love everyone. And Jewish people aren't going to tell me what to do. They can have their satanic contracts, their perverted pornography and everything else. But I'm not going down that line," says West. Anyway, he went on to say, "You know what? Hitler did good things, too." And then West said, "We need to stop dissing the Nazis all the time." So, see, while that's going on, Elon Musk is going to put a chip in his head. And I think this whole thing is playing out to literally make the freedom fighters that are honest and genuine. Can you skip this break, too? Honest and genuine, real freedom fighters like Dr. Bradley and myself. Now we're kind of aligned, even though we don't mean to be, with Ye and with these anti-Semitic folks, not by truth, but by manipulation. See, Ye doesn't know anything about the Constitution. Okay, Donald Trump doesn't know anything about the Constitution, but they're the ones taking on the media and saying how evil the media is, just like we've been for decades. Well, it's true. But see, where the truth, when it comes to Satan, where the truth is the lie. So Ye is the great Christian artist, but yet he's aligning himself with Hitler and defending the Nazis. Whereas then Joe Biden and crew are like, "Oh my gosh, you're with the Nazis? You're crazy. How dare you be with the Nazis? How dare you even talk to Kanye West, Donald Trump? How dare you?" But yet they're literally murdering babies and they're behind the scenes with Elon Musk and the same eugenics movement as everybody else. Folks, you are being played. Dr. Bradley, do you want to respond to this?
Sure. It's interesting to me that the dynamic that happens generally is the argument is moved based upon a redefinition of terms. That's what they do with the Constitution. That's what they do with the scriptures and everything else. And so you really do need to go back to original sources. That's one thing that I really try hard to do, is go back and look at the original sources and realize words have meanings. Those meanings may be known. If you're willing to learn the language and go back and look at the definitions that were in play when those words were said or written. And so what happens is we have this shifting of principles to the point that they can define almost anything out of existence. So that's what they're doing in the media now, is they're shifting the argument. And I say go back to the original intent of the American Founding Fathers. Go back to what it says in the Holy Scriptures. You've got to go back to that before you can find your pathway, because they've obscured or obfuscated the pathway by their redefinition of terms. So everything's got to be weighed in the proper scale. And now they're starting to weigh in a scale that says, well, Nazis have some good things. And these guys who were in eugenics really did improve some things along the way. And pretty soon, the Patriot Act is a good thing. And we start to realize that we have turned our back on the original intent. And they do it so many different ways. I mean, Patriot Act, it's nothing patriotic about it. The Clean Air Act, the idea of Inflation Reduction Act, this anything they touch, they put a spin on it that, well, I'm for that. I'm for clean air. I can't tell you how many times I heard that in this meeting we were in this town hall meeting. But the fact is they begin to try and define new terminologies and new directions, and it's 180 degrees out of what it should be. So we've got to gain the ability to have a discerning spirit and go back and look at the scale that you're weighing things in. Is the scale half a bubble off, and so it's already balanced against you? And if we can't do that, we're going to continue to be deceived, And the only way you're not going to be deceived is you're paying attention properly, not distracted, one eye on the TV set or in the the social media or whatever, that you're overlooking the goodness that we were granted. I'm absolutely, unequivocally, totally and completely convinced God loves us. I'm absolutely, totally and completely convinced that He created a scenario here where this mortal existence, I mean, look at our earth, how beautiful it is, and self-refreshing, if you will, renewing, and how it, from generation to generation, and yet we keep trying to mess it up. We do everything in our power to step away from that. I sometimes think, God's children should be His crowning creation, and yet we're oftentimes the least faithful. I mean, a speck of dust, if God says move, it moves. You know, the rivers are moved out of their way, the mountains are, whatever.
Yeah, it's all about agency at the core. And if we use our agency wisely, then we're blessed. And if we don't, trouble comes. But imagine them promoting Kanye West as the great Christian musician. And then, Kanye West literally promoting Adolf Hitler. West says we got to stop dissing the Nazis all the time. Now, I get that we need to recognize the good. So Yi continues and says, look, everybody brings good to the table, even Hitler. I acknowledge there's some truth that there's good and bad in everyone, folks. But here's the problem. How come the Nazis or Kanye West or white supremacists or whatever don't have a seat at any table, period? I mean, they are worse than scum. Now, I disagree with their views, but they're God's children, too. And we can literally let a rapist, say Bill Clinton, let baby murderers such as Dr. Kevorkian, those who would destroy our liberty, the Joe Bidens of the world and everybody, they can all sit at the table and there's no harm, no foul. Everything's good. Fauci, who's literally murdered many, 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 many people by his policies on COVID and everything else, the lies they told and everything else, and they're all fine at the table. The socialist that wants to, they're all fine at the table. The communist, the Chinese, the whoever, everybody's fine at the table but the, quote, white supremacist Nazi. And Kanye West is black, see? And I look at this whole thing and I say their goal is to force division on new fault lines. Every time you turn around, there's a new fault line. So does Sam agree with Kanye that there's good in everybody? Yeah, to a certain point. Well, then does Sam agree that Nazis are fighting? No. Does Sam agree that we should diss the Nazis? Well, I don't think we should agree with them. But I don't think that they're the worst person in the room necessarily either, just because they're flawed in their view on something. But see, they're creating these new battle lines. Who are you with and who are you against is what they want to paint you as, guilt by association. I don't want to be against and or for anybody except for Jesus Christ. I want to be for Him and Satan. I want to be against him. I want to use my agency, but we need to learn to break down these issues one at a time and intelligently think through it. Don't use this association or this link. When Kanye says there's good in everybody, he's right for the most part. When Kanye says we can't treat Nazis like they're the worst guy in the room all the time, that they're scum worse than lepers, he's right. When we talk about, agreeing with Hitler, I'm not doing that. When it comes to agreeing with Elon Musk that I want a chip in my head, I'm not doing that. When it comes to the eugenics movement and their satanic agenda, I'm against that. See, you've got to take single issues and isolate them one at a time and say, is it good or bad, right or wrong? Where do you stand and why? And you got to stand with principle, and you got to separate these items one at a time. But they're trying to confuse everyone about this very issue. You're either with somebody or against somebody, and you got to take the whole package. That's how the labels and the lies go, Doctor.
Well, they do try to get everybody to draw into battle lines. And we've talked about this in many ways and times, about the conflict-based theories of Marx, where you divide and then ultimately conquer. You create chaos, and out of the chaos, you hope to be able to overthrow the establishment view. The establishment view right now, that's so widely distributed in terms of its popularity, has strayed so far from the traditional values that were found, let's say, back in the founding era of the United States, whether it's educationally or morally or our government limited and all those kinds of things. We have shifted based upon these conflicts that have constantly moved us to a more false position. And that's exactly what this is all about. And if you can divide, you can conquer. The nation is becoming more balkanized constantly. Now, the balkanization, a lot of people, they may have heard it, but they don't really, you know, what the heck does it mean? You think of the former Yugoslavia. There's many, many, many different factions there. And you start dividing along those fractional lines to the point that you destroy the whole nation. And that's what's happening in the United States right now. And you can look at almost every single issue, whether it's the issue to bring illegal immigrants in and change the dynamic of the society, whether it's the Democrats versus the Republicans, whether it's the idea of blacks versus white or religion against religion. I mean, all of these different things are efforts to balkanize the United States. And if we go back to George Washington's farewell address and recognize the unity that they felt at that time, yeah, they had balkanization going on, the East versus the West and the North versus the South. Those kind of things had been fostered and everything. And George Washington did his best to say, no, you're Americans. You are Americans. And we've fought in the same battles. We have sought to in the same councils and circles to bring about a free government. He tried to say, here are the unifying lines with slight shades of difference. He said, you're of the same religion. The Christian faith. And I've done a study on the Founding Fathers' religious beliefs and found that with slight shades of difference, they were of the same faith. And they found that common belief to okay, here's another really big thing they're dividing on is religion. When I ran for vice president, there were two states that I'm aware of that took me off the ballot and the Constitution Party. Because not only I was selected in the convention to be the vice presidential candidate, but two states decided I wasn't Christian enough. So they took me off the ballot. And it's like, well, I put out a statement about my Christian beliefs, but the fact, no, he's not Christian enough. Well, they have some fault lines that they design to very carefully separate. And so here we are, you know, the United States Constitution says there'll never be a religious test for office. But the fact of the matter is, we still find fault lines that we can divide on. But that was not their intention. And if we go back and review, just even in the farewell address, George Washington's farewell address, with slight shades of difference, you're so similar. You have the same beliefs in liberty. They did in those days. We don't in ours. Because of the education system and the divisions that are created in the Marxist philosophies. Most Americans today, because of our so-called education system, don't know that from each according to his ability, to each according to his needs, is Marxist. It's not Americanist. And they don't know the difference on that. And they're unwilling to defend the Americanist perspective because everybody ought to get everything they need. I mean, holy cow. And it's no. You need to understand what's happening is a Marxist approach to divide and conquer. And so, yeah, all of these arguments and discussions and everything that you bring up between the different guys, whether it's Jones or Kanye or George Bush or whoever, all of these things are, I think, fraught with danger because we're setting aside the baseline principles and we're arguing about things that honestly, people don't even know where they came from.
Well, and that's why we really want to focus, ladies and gentlemen, on learning to separate issues and think for yourself based on God, family, and country-style principles. Okay? You know what? We need to be very careful about this. I want to focus on solutions, though. The Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association is putting out a document for rebuilding trust in the United States regarding elections and talking about the value of stability. We'll do it in seconds.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. You
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
U.S. job growth rose faster than expected in November as the labor market remained resilient in the face of higher interest rates and inflation bordering on recession. The Labor Department said in its monthly payroll report released Friday, employers added 263,000 jobs to American payrolls, beating expectations by 63,000. Unemployment remains in place at 3.7% nationwide. The Supreme Court on Thursday agreed to decide whether the Biden administration can transfer student loan debt and put the financial burden onto the American people to pay back. If the litigation has not been resolved by June 30th of next year, payments will resume 60 days after that date, according to the Education Department. Let's get an update on the Orion spacecraft that's ready to zip around the moon and head back to Earth.
NASA's Orion spacecraft is lining up to make a final pass by the moon on its historic journey before returning to Earth. The Orion capsule has spent the past 15 days traveling into deep space, making an unprecedented trip beyond the moon. The spacecraft is expected to take a final lap around the moon Monday morning. In the USA Radio News Midwest Bureau, I'm Katie Lewis.
Elon Musk announced Thursday that Tesla is rolling out its long-awaited all-electric big rig. The first shipment of the Tesla semis, which was unveiled 5 years ago, was delivered to PepsiCo in Modesto, California on Wednesday. An appeals court has ordered an end to the special master process for reviewing documents seized from President Trump's Mar-a-Lago home. The court, in an unsigned 3-0 decision, issued it on Thursday. The United States men's national soccer team continues their quest for the World Cup against the Netherlands tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern. USA Radio News.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, there's so much to discuss, so little time to discuss it. You know, I mentioned the worst person in the room, they always believe, is kind of the white supremacist guy. Everybody else, you can murder babies, do everything, you're fine. But, man, you speak out on some of these things. I'm not convinced that there is a worst guy in a room. I believe people's lives matter. I believe we're all God's children. I believe when people do wrong, we ought to call it what it is wrong. When people do right, we ought to call it what it is right. But I don't believe that we ought to play games. Look, all sin, according to God, is wrong. And he cannot tolerate the least degree or the least allowance of sin. We all need to repent. We all need to change. We all need to come to God. And it's hard to kind of handle all that. But one thing I think we all need to agree on right now, at least in America, if we're going to save our country, is the elections. Okay, we can debate if they were stolen or not, if there's election fraud, whether it rises to the level of fraud, you know, election integrity issues, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I don't want to be on the side of the debates, Dr. Bradley. I want to be on the side of the solutions. So at the CSPOA, we put together kind of a one-pager on solutions. And there's a lot of things not said in our paper, but it's strategically done intentionally to not create divides. And I can give you some examples along the way. But do you have that in front of you, Doctor? I thought we would bring these up. You can read them. We can talk about them, give a little bit of explanation to each one of them.
Yeah, I should be able to get that in front of me. Just a second here. There I go. How about that, sports fans? There's some other organizations that have similar things, too. The CSPOA one tracks very closely with another one that I've got on my screen right now that I believe that They're soundly founded recommendations.
And who has the other one? I'd be interested to know.
The John Birch Society has put out a...
Yeah, and I've read the John Birch Society one, but they talk about we need to make election machines safe and stuff like that, or foolproof.
Well, we need to go back to...
You can't do that, period. That's not possible, and so that's why I kind of rejected the one they had. Is anybody who brings up that we have an opportunity in my mind to use machines, they're wrong. Okay, we cannot fix or trust the machines ever.
Well, here's what they talk about. Election results printed on paper, posted at precincts, made public immediately. Internet voting, internet voter registration abolished. I mean, these are things that we do need to clarify and correct. But I'm saying there are organizations. I'm not saying that they're perfect. And this CSPOA one I find very good, except for I'm certain, I'm pretty confident you'll believe this too, that there are people in high places. For example, in Utah, our lieutenant governor. The lieutenant governor is over the voting in Utah, and she and the governor ran as like president and vice president thing. And it's funny, the lieutenant governor, if they run for office for the next time, they win. How about that, sports fans? But the fact of the matter is, I think that this idea of, like, for example, number 7 on the CSPOA one, require every state in the union to retain and preserve all ballot records and election papers for 36 months under penalty of violation. Well, let's say we did 36 months, and then you had a governor or a lieutenant governor that says, yeah, we got them. You can't see them. We'll sue you if you ask for them. We'll send goons around to your house to intimidate you. I mean, those young women that are the red pill ladies.
The two red pills, yeah.
Yeah, anyway, really, they're courageous, soundly founded.
No question.
All that kind of stuff. But they're running into roadblocks because of corrupt officials that are doing everything in their power to prevent the airing of the bad laundry that has obviously come in.
Part of the problem is that if you document everything that needs to be done, you'll be into the bigger than a book bigger than the Bible kind of a thing. If you mandate everything at some point, you're almost tyrannical in and of yourself. So the point of the CSPOA guidelines here or efforts here, it says a CSPOA solution for rebuilding trust in the United States elections, the value of political stability. So we kind of make this point. Look, our whole nation's stability relies on honest, transparent, accountable elections. And then we say personal responsibility for all registered voters. And then we go through these things, and there's a lot not said. You're right. And there's a lot that would undermine even what we propose. But what our goal is to say we got to start somewhere. And we've got to keep it simple enough where we don't just start arguments. So the first one says, become an informed, committed, vote in person, VIP voter. Know everything on the ballot before election day.
That is a personal responsibility.
Yes.
Right? Every single individual. Again, we're getting back to we the people. We have a personal responsibility, because if we don't, we're going to lose our republic. Go on.
That's why we wrote it. And that's why we also put at the top of ours the value of political stability. Because, look, if we don't take this personally, the whole stability of the nation's in jeopardy, folks. You got to understand this. And nobody else highlights that point as we do at the top of their documents. The second one we have is this. Return to precinct-by-precinct voting with the hand counting of ballots on single-day elections. That's a lot said in one statement, but our goal is to keep it simple. Look, we're saying, hey, you've got to have precinct-by-precinct-by-voting. That, by its very nature, jettisons all mail-in ballots, although we don't say so, except for if you request a ballot, it can still be counted same day. But the reason you got to go back to the precincts, Dr. Bradley, is that's where we can challenge a lot of this stuff. That's where we can create the transparency and the accountability needed. When they have these, quote, merged precincts into these huge places, you can't do any good. And when you vote with hand counting on a single day elections, that's the key to narrow the window, to be able to count all the votes by hand, etc. So in that says a lot, but it also rules out a lot that we don't have to say. Because if you have all those things in place, 90% of the other questions go away. Number three, become a precinct leader, certified, listen, positions. So we want you to be a precinct leader or in certified positions, a poll worker or a poll watcher. And this really relates to, look, the people have got to get involved in this so that we're keeping an eye on our own elections. And that's why it's got to be precinct by precinct, because then you know the people that you're involved with personally. There could still be scandal, but trust goes up significantly. Even if you disagree on something, if you are there with local people that you know, they have to look at you every single day, et cetera, et cetera. Number four, return to paper ballots only. Eligible and registered voters may request and return an absentee ballot. But that's if you specifically ask for one, and if you return it, the number of those ballots are small, and they could be the custody of those ballots could be taken care of, and then they can be, again, included in the hand count paper ballot, same-day elections, precinct by precinct, folks. Go ahead with the next one, Dr. Bradley.
Well, it says require video recorded coverage in publicly available archives and all ballots counted. By the way, I'm going to parenthetically remark, and this applies across to everything, because this idea of require, all of these things, you say, who's going to require that? Now, number five says it, number six says it, number seven says it, and number nine says it. Here's the problem that needs to be addressed. This local control is more important. The original intent of the American Founding Fathers was that the states would be in control of the electoral process. And this has been stolen from the states at every step of the way. And what they tried to do right after the 2020 elections was to canonize or make, you know, the standard, if you will, across the entire nation, the standards that allowed the election to be stolen. Okay, so that's what they were trying to do. They were trying to nationalize the entire vote. And I would be opposed to that. And I'm opposed to the processes that they've done, everything. I mean, the 1964 voter registration.
Well.
Okay, so when it says require every
and
state.
And we could say campaign, state requires.
State requires. Because Section 4 of Article 1 says the times, places, and manner of holding elections for senators and representatives shall be prescribed in each state by the legislature thereof. Now, it goes on to say that Congress can intervene if the legislature thereof decides they ain't going to hold a vote. And the concern was that people weren't going to play in the game of the general government because it wasn't completely in keeping with the states being comfortable with that. So they
right.
needed to say, no, you are going to choose a senator. And
go,
it will be
go
done.
Ahead and skip the break, you guys, really quick. So we would say state required video recorded
and
coverage.
And so every one of us, you and I, have got to be involved in our state to fix this.
That's
somebody
right.
has to be in Arizona doing that. You know, like Sheriff Mack, he's in Arizona, isn't he?
Yes.
Okay, he organizes stuff in Arizona, let's say. Okay, I mean, you get the idea. See, I don't want to be a nationally syndicated voter program that the thing that passed the House after the 2020 election actually was, as it's criminal. It's a canonization.
They don't have any authority whatsoever.
Of everything about elections.
And every one of those people should be turned out at the next election if the people are educated and smart. But the point of the requiring video coverage is then you can have instant replays, you can put it in a court of law, and it relates
sure.
to the only other requirements. And I agree that we need to put state there. Six, require that all ballot watchers / counters / tabulators certify in writing. That means there's got to be humans for all these things, by the way. Certify in writing to the final count under the penalty of perjury. Now, again, we need to have state requires that. But the point is, hey, if it's good enough for my taxes, it's got to be good enough for the vote, folks. Seven, require every state in the union. We need to reword that to just say state required. To retain and preserve all ballots, as you mentioned, for 36 months. Again, you're right. They could still be undermined. They could still say, well, we won't let you look at them. That's a whole other battle to talk about. But our point is right now, by the way, most jurisdictions have 22 months. Well, what that means is 2 months before the next election cycle, you can get rid of all the data before. What I want to be able to do is compare the elections 2 years apart, 2 years apart. And if there's mass anomalies and differences, you can point them out and relate to them that way if you can preserve the data longer. So that's why we kind of put a 36-month in there to say, hey, let's get us well through at least two election cycles that you can compare, etc. Number eight, do all within your power to remove your state from and or prevent your state from joining the Electronic Registration Information System known as ERIC. We got to get rid of that for sure. And that's, again, a state-by-state issue. So all these issues are individually and or on states. None of this relates to the general government. And Dr. Bradley's spot on that point. Number nine, require every state in the union. And again, we got to reword that. Every state should require to update and secure and multi-party certify all voter rolls and voter registration systems. That's a critical, huge one that ERIC has been perverting for quite some time. Number 10, require all voters to confirm their identity by showing a proof of state ID. And we set that on purpose because we don't want a national ID card, although they're shoving that down our throats too. Certified via signature. So you got to have a state ID and a signature tied to every legally counted ballot. So there's a lot of language in there, Dr. Bradley, that's really unique. I agree we need to word it so that it's very clear that we mean the state would do this, not the federal government in any way. Your counsel is wise. And again, this is a rough draft document. It's not a final yet. I've looked at a ton of other documents that people have written because I was just going to say, hey, we should embrace somebody else's. Why not? Why reinvent the wheel? But every time I look around, every one of them was completely deficient in certain points that I felt were so critical. Anybody who compromises with machines, anybody who wants to somehow not force the penalty of perjury or force it in writing or transparency, or anybody who wants the general government to get involved, or every one of those people are off track, doctor.
Well, these things, if you stopped and really thought about it, they're non-denominational. That means it's not, oh, the Republicans are going to take over if this happens, or the Democrats are going to. No. It's absolutely every party. I don't care if you're the Libertarian, the Constitution Party, the Green Party, the Social Democrat Party, or the Republican or the Democrat. These things really should be, hey, yeah, you know, if it's fair, we could win this, because they're not discarding our votes because we're some kind of a party that's not mainstream, you know. And so, yeah, every party should be able to say, I see how this could work. I see how this will work. And we will all be on the same playing field, on a level playing field, and not have it stacked against us. But see, the way that things are stacked now, the powers that be can manipulate the machine counting. It's simply, hacking is a skill that probably most ninth graders have that could probably overcome most of the balloting machines that they've got now. We just got to get away from it. Paper ballots are key. And this local voting is key. Day of election is key. This idea that you can vote over an entire month, it's fraught with so many problems on that. This idea you can ballot harvest and bring these ballots in big bundles and set them down someplace. In our county, they had a central place, one central place where all ballots went. There was virtually no in-person balloting, okay? I mean, yeah, if you screwed up your ballot, you had to go see the clerk and you had to get a new one and you had to, you know, vote. But virtually everything came in to a single centralized location from which everything was going to be, you know, the mothership handled everything. It's fraught with opportunities for people to dink around with stuff and manipulate it. So,
and that's why the precinct really by good. Precinct and same day voting. Absolutely. And by hand counting and no machines and swearing to the penalty of perjury and Make sure that we vet the voter rolls by third parties that can be validated, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's why you got to show an ID when you vote and have a signature that matches your ballot so that we can trace every one of them until the cows come home, even compare it with the video that's documented and everything else. We have got to make this as transparent and as clear as we can. And the only way I know to do that is to go back to the precincts where, you know what, there's only 800 to 1,000 on average voters in a precinct. And in that small 800 to 1,000, you get five vote counters, just say. And then you get, you know, vote watchers and people who will confirm. And, okay, you've only got 200 or 300 ballots to count each person all across the country anyway. Nothing. You can count it in an hour. You can even have a problem and redo a video and you know, you can debate it and call in a sheriff or call in somebody to adjudicate if you need to or whatever. Hey, is this one going to count? You know what? I don't think it can. I can't read it. No, look, you can, and we can even debate them, and you could still have all the votes counted in a couple of hours, and they could sign under the penalty of perjury. This isn't that hard to solve if we follow principles, Doctor.
You're absolutely correct, and here's what's interesting. We used to do that in the early 1960s. I mean, other times too, but I'm going back to, there was no computers, really.
You're going back to when you were alive and able to really understand it and be involved in it.
Yeah, yeah. And so here's the deal. We got, by the end of the night, a final count. I mean, none of this nonsense of, well, we're still trying to get this through the computers. I thought computers were supposed to be faster. No. What we've got is everything breaks down and they get a chance to bring in a truckload of other votes, whatever. But if this localized stuff is happening, and I remember we used to go through, you'd step up to the table and you'd give your name, they'd look it up on the voter registration, you'd sign your name, they had signatures there to verify. The thing that I found interesting is behind the table were multiple people. Okay, so there was Democrats and Republicans, and I don't know how many other parties there used to be, because these other parties that are growing up that are frustrated with the two-party system. But at any rate, they were people from our neighborhoods. You know, I could come in and say, hey, Nadine, how's it going? You know, or whatever the person's name behind it was. And I don't know why I picked Nadine, but the fact of the matter is they knew me and I knew them. Okay. And surely there's
and you might even disagree on politics, but you had enough trust for them, especially if it was in where you could see all of it. You know what? You're not going to argue with them whether a ballot should be counted or not, because whether you agree or disagree with them politically, you're agreeing that it's readable, that you know clearly who they're voting for, that it's a legal signature that matches the this and that. If there's any question, you instantly pull up the video of the count. You instantly pull up, hey, here's so-and-so's signature, their state-qualified ID that was here. Yes, they signed, and yes, that matches the signature on their ballot, the signature that we've got on file. Everybody can agree, you know what, that one counts. Okay, you know these people well enough where you're not going to be debating that with them unless there's legitimate issues to discuss, like you might in this vague idea that nobody really knows what's going on. And that's the point. And so I think if we change some of these to say state required, because I agree with that, or required state by state or whatever, each state must require kind of language. I think if we do that, what else do we need to do, you think, before this is ready for prime time? We got to get this out pretty quick, I think.
We do, and I think it ought to become, you know, in the format that you want it to be done. And then it's got to go out to the states, and individuals have got to become personally involved and knowledgeable about this. It goes back to those four points I made earlier. You know, we're right with God. Okay, we're not going to go there and lie. Second of all, we got to understand the principles in the tradition of the Founding Fathers. These things have got to happen on an individual basis. And if you take this information and you get it into enough hands, let's get it into all the sheriffs to begin with. So the sheriffs can, you know, it used to be in the CSPOA, you could go in a state and you say, well, I got 29 sheriffs in my state and 28 of them have signed on to be a constitutional sheriff. I mean, you could actually count that. You know, an individual could go see the sheriff in their county and they could say, you know, where do you stand on these things? And it's just not the sheriff. The sheriff isn't the funnel point of anything like that. It's because we, the people, all are participating in our liberty. The price of liberty is eternal vigilance. That has got to be embraced by every American. I say every American kind of loosely. The fact of the matter is that a fairly small number of dedicated supporters of this could really make a difference. They really could.
I agree, and that's why we're putting this together, is we want a one-page definitive And if there's anything you can think of, ladies and gentlemen, you can email me, libertyroundtable.com. I'd love to get your take. It's a rough draft at this point. I agree with Dr. Bradley. We need to make it very clear that it's the states, not the general government. To me, that was a given. It was an obvious. But Dr. Bradley's right. It's got to be specified so clearly you can't mix it up. You can't pervert it and confuse what we're saying. He's right about that reality. Is there anything else, though, you think that really needs to? The problem is there's a lot of things I could say. You know, we could say, hey, illegals can't vote and dead people can't vote. But see, if you clean up the voter rolls and if you vote in person, you have to show your ID, you have to sign a document, you have to, you know, all these things. 90% of those shenanigans that are going on, we don't even need to discuss or address, because if you really embrace these 10 principles or these 10 ideas, then all that goes away without saying.
It does.
And so we're trying to avoid the debates and the divides. By not getting into the nitty gritty, but solving the problem on something we can all, as you wisely pointed out, agree on that's nonpartisan or not partisan, party related, if you will.
Number 7 still gives me a little bit of concern for the fact that we have experienced very blatantly an egregious unwillingness to have transparency and make these election results known. Our state, from the very highest level of verification, has slow rolled the efforts to verify that the elections were fair, honest, and accurate. Okay, and so somehow, if number 7 could be include something in there, again, I don't know the wording right this second, but the individual that has oversight of that under penalty,
we could say retain, make available. We could say retain. Preserve and make available all ballot records and election papers for 36 months under
in a timely manner
under penalty of, you know, we need to add. So again, the idea is there. We're talking about refining how it could be stated to be more holistic and transparent, accountable, clear. That's the goal.
Right. And so there's maybe small tweaking, but a job well done. I take my hat off and say, yeah, this is something that is well thought out, and it really will result in more fair and honest and accurate elections.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's the problem. I want Dr. Bradley's input because he's wise. But man, if I let him get a hold of it, this thing will turn into 50 pages. And it'll be accurate and spot on and historically relevant and everything.
Well, you've got a point that I kind of take the jab and laugh with it a little bit. Good left hook, Sam.
Not the real jab, folks. We never take that, just to be clear.
No.
How did you like the new term, though, that doctor came up with that we talked about? I don't know if you missed that in the first hour, but it's called the quaxine. Don't take the quaxine, Dr. Bradley.
Yeah, trust me.
It's good.
There's a whole story behind that, too. But honestly, it's a bioweapon that modifies your humanity. I mean, you came from God a certain way. I think God doesn't make junk. You've seen that, probably, that little saying. And you're pretty important as you are. And I think if we get dinking around with stuff as Elon Musk wants to, and these eugenicists and everything, holy cow, this transhumanism stuff and the concern that's being injected into our bodies with nanoparticles that are, you know, damaging to our very humanity, that's very concerning. Infertility that's going to result, I mean, that interferes with God's plan to send children to this earth. All of these things. The ways that we get out early by stroke or heart attack or any kind of inflammation that ends up shortening our lives, that's satanic also. And so this whole plan is satanic, I'm afraid.
Ladies and gentlemen, we can trust in God, family, and country, and that's exactly what we'll do. We can get involved in solutions, and that's exactly what we'll do. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been on the radio for more than 25 years for a reason. We absolutely live, breathe, and eat the sacred cause of liberty. And we know that your agency is at stake at every turn. And we pray you will use your agency to promote God, family, and country, to protect life, liberty, and property. That's what we commit to you that we will do. Dr. Scott Bradley, thank you. FreedomsRisingSun.com. LovingLiberty.net, LibertyRoundtable.com. Those are the websites. Donate liberally if you would, please. It's the only time we believe in liberalism, when you liberally donate. And we say this nation shall endure, and God save the Republic.